Steam is now banning games because credit card processors do not like them. Plus, Microsoft is getting out of the movies and TV business. Tonight is July 20th, 2025, and the Bobby Blackwell Show, featuring your calls and chat comments, is up next. So you would say even if blah, blah, blah. Okay, I'll let you go. You talk. Wow, what happened to your voice? Thank you, Skype. So video games, that's what the show is about.
This is everyone Akia Ripper from Sweden.
And what's with all the Halo hate, Bob? You've been hating on Halo a lot lately.
I just don't like shooters. I'm not saying it's a bad game, I just don't like it. Billy OK says he can't be seen in public playing games that aren't hardcore. What would people say? And what up, G and Chad is once again talking about wrestling. That's why it's not because they hate the fans. It's more because they have to start from scratch.
Hogwash later.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, Bobby Blackwolf.
Everybody in chat's talking about like there's new paint. No, it's the same. Everything is the same. There's nothing new going on. This is a same old episode. Welcome, everybody, to the Bobby Blackwell Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as sometimes reminiscing about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwell. If you're joining us live here on Sunday night, welcome. Thank you so much for being here. We do try to tape the show live just about each and every Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, over at the Voice of Geeks Network Twitch channel, twitch.tv/VogNetwork. Come join us and interact with the show directly. I'll be trying to read intelligent comments from chat throughout the night, but this is a podcast. I do understand that, so you can join our Discord server, vognetwork.com/discord, and you can join us throughout the week, see pictures of where we've been at throughout the week. There's been people that have been at California Extreme this weekend. You can see pictures from there. I was somewhere this weekend. I'll talk about that in a second, but also, you know, what we're doing throughout during the week. And where I was at the ATL Comic Convention, which is legally distinct from Atlanta Comic Con. But everybody calls it Atlanta Comic Con, but it's ATL Comic Convention. I was there, actually dropped in Friday as well, because like, what else was I going to do? Work? No. But I had a one panel that I was asked to moderate, and it was with Red Dead Redemption 2 actors. So I had Roger Clark, who was Arthur Morgan, Noshir Dalal, who was Charles Smith, and Rob Weedoff, who was John Marston. And I've worked with Roger and Rob before. Obviously, they didn't really remember me, which is totally fine because it was like 3 years ago, and it was one of their four panels at Dragon Con. But Roger did, you know, say he liked this convention better than Dragon Con because the elevators were better at the hotel. But it was fun. Now, I mean, it's what I will say, and I don't know if they're listening, and this is not necessarily a knock on it, but it is what it is. This is a corporate run comic convention, so this is more of a kind of cookie cutter comic convention. It is what you expect a comic convention to be, basically just, you know, a dealer hall, artist alley, and signing and get signatures from the stars, and they get much bigger stars than what like a Dragon Con. Dragon Con is very like volunteer run, locally run. It's not a big, there's not a big corporation behind it. Whereas FanX is the corporation that's behind ATL Comic Con, and they also do Indiana Comic Convention and Tampa Bay Comic Convention are their two other ones, and it's literally the same company that's FanX. But they still do a pretty good job. And what I noticed there was that a lot of the people that were at ATL Comic Convention are people who don't go to these, because I was in one of the panels that a friend of the show, Charles McFall, was moderating with the cast of Cobra Kai. And one of the people that actually works for FanX came out and warmed up the crowd and actually asked, is this your first ever comic convention, comic book convention, pop culture convention? And half the room raised their hands that this weekend was literally the first time they've been to a comic convention. So when I say that, you know, it's a kind of cookie cutter corporate run convention, that's not necessarily a bad thing, but if you are used to a Dragon Con or a MagFest or something like that, this it's going to seem a little empty. But if you've never been, it's a great way to get in, because Dragon Con and MagFest and PAX can be so overwhelming, and something smaller like these is a great way to get into it. There's still cosplay, there's still panels, there's still artist alley, there's still dealers, There's still, you know, the celebrity petting zoo's still there, which is what I call it. But, you know, you can go up and meet the celebs. And so it's got kind of all the hallmarks, minus like a gaming room. There was no real dedicated gaming station like there are in some other conventions. I think there was a little board game room in one side, or board game area in one side, but I didn't get to walk the floor all that much just because of timing and, you know, trying to get my bearings and talking to people and things like that. So, yeah, Fifth Dream actually says, I've been to Tampa Bay Comic Convention, and Pod Culture's been to Indiana Comic Convention. So that's the same company and the same people that run ATL. So it's kind of that they've got a lot of the same things going on. And so, you know, if that's a way that they can make money is by kind of having the same show, kind of the same show layout for, you know, in multiple different places. And that way, you know, they kind of get it running like a I'd say a factory line, but that's probably not what I'm thinking of. But like, you know, they know how it works. It's just the venue is different. Yeah, and Tiger Claw says it's probably more more of a personal convention without all the noise, without all the corporatization. I guess for the like a Dragon Con and stuff like that doesn't have the corporatization. This, like I said, this is a corporate run. This is a very corporation run comic convention, which is not necessarily a bad thing. But it is very, it's a different vibe than a lot of the ones that you hear us talk about here on Fog, and a lot of the anime conventions and things like that. And Fifth Dream says, I think they also do Salt Lake City. I think they might as well. They don't have it on, they gave us a wristband, which is great because they're like, you can't take this off. You have to keep it on all weekend. I'm like, but I'm going to be here 2 days and I need to sleep and had to sleep with a wristband on. But anyway, I think they may do Salt Lake as well, but that's not what was on the wristband. But anyway, so I got to do one panel with them. I hosted the Red Dead Redemption 2 panel, like I said, with Roger and Nashir and Rob, and it went really well. We actually had a packed room. We didn't have the biggest room. They gave us the second biggest room, and we packed it out, so it's great. You know, the only thing that kind of happened that I've apologized for, and Nashir Dalal, who is an amazing person. He was the one person I hadn't worked with before, and he's also been in other stuff. In Sekiro, he was Sekiro. So you've heard Nashir Dalal, even if you haven't played Red Dead Redemption 2 and seen Charles Smith, who's one of the other characters. He you've heard him in other games. He's in Star Wars, a lot of the Star Wars games, and things like that, and he pointed out that because I asked questions for the first 30, my own questions for the first 30 minutes, because we didn't have a mic runner or anything like that. And then I took questions from the audience and I was prioritizing getting different areas of the room because it was packed and I didn't want it to just be people that were front and center. And Nashir at the very end is like, you know what? I haven't heard from a woman yet. Can you ask a question from a woman? And I'm like looking at the clock. I'm like, oh crap, we have like 4 minutes left. And I just got called out on stage to get a question from a woman. So I'm like, yes. And I, you know, unfortunately, front and third row and center got a question from a woman. I felt really bad. Nashir was like, I wasn't trying to call you out or anything. So, you know, it all ended well. And apparently he also told someone else that I did really well. So that was great to hear, to him to tell other people that I did really well instead of just me, because it was like, I didn't really get to interact with them backstage that much at all, just because of the timing and, you know, them getting back to their stuff. But other than that, I've been told that it was a really great panel. We did a lot of great stuff. Talked a little bit about the SAG-AFTRA strike ending. Talked about, like, the difference between performance capture, performance acting, and voice acting. And had some fun. And some of the crowds were asking, like, you know, do you think that this ending would have been different? And, you know, what do you wish Arthur did? And it turns out that both Roger and Rob are playing Red Dead Redemption on Twitch. They're both live streaming them playing the games from 12 years ago. Nashir is like, I can't listen to myself. And I'm like, so you just changed the dubbing to one of the other, you know, you play it in German. And then you're not hearing yourself and you get to play the game. And he's like, you know what, I may do that. That's a good thing. So it was a lot of fun. ATL Comic Convention posted up on their Instagram and Facebook pictures of the panel. You can see me on it. And it was great. And then 4 hours later, I was at my high school reunion. None of them knew that's where I was that day. But maybe hopefully I'll be doing some more panel moderation. I actually got this through Dragon Con, through people connections at Dragon Con, and since I am local, I was included pretty much last minute, but they did accommodate me, and because I had other things going on this weekend, I had like 4 hours of availability, and it turns out this panel was in that 4 hours. So I was there. I also got to see a friend of the show, Ash Said Hi. She did a solo panel about the Commodore Amiga. So she's a big fan of the Amiga, the Commodore system I didn't have, and I do not have in the show role that they have releasing a new Commodore 64 that is an FPGA computer, which is basically it's emulating the hardware instead of emulating the software, which means, yes, it hooks up to HDMI, but it can actually hook up to an actual old Commodore monitor and an actual old Commodore disk drive, and you can actually hook up real equipment to this Commodore, and it's, I think, $300. Here's a thing in our Discord, fogdoor.com/Discord, to find more about that. I have not decided if I'm going to get it yet, but I'm thinking about it. It's not shipping until the end of the year anyway. But let's go ahead and get to some of the news that happened this week. And this is something that on the surface sounds fine. Okay. But if you look at current events and you look at what certain people are trying to legislate against and act against, this is a slippery slope that could affect people that you don't want to see affected. There are plenty of people that are going to be affected, plenty of products affected by this that you're going to be like, you know what? Good. I'm actually happy about that. But then once that ball starts rolling, it could affect things you do care about. So we're talking about Steam, and Gadget reports that Steam has added a new rule to its guidelines that has resulted in certain games getting banned, according to a report by Automaton. The new clause states that, quote, content that may violate the rules and standard set forth by Steam's payment processors and related card networks and banks or internet network providers, unquote, is not allowed and could result in removal from the platform. In other words, if credit card companies get mad about something, they could actually have the power to ban a game. The clause goes on to say that this will affect, quote, certain kinds of adults-only content, unquote. This has already likely resulted in many games being pulled off of the platform. The vast majority of these titles have obvious sexual themes and may have the word incest in its title. Sorry, Twitch, I'm reporting the news. SteamDB does not give a reason for the removals, but the timing does match up. So here's the thing. There are people that want to expand what obscene content contains. And it's, you know, Tiger Claw says, basically, if a game contains adults-only material, well, there are people that want to expand what is adults-only. And it could expand because it's vague enough to things that you and I would not consider explicit. And, you know, right now it is. Right now it is only getting the ones that are very obviously, like, bad, and they're, you know, from content farms, and they have very either no reviews or just bad reviews, and they're visual novels that are very cheaply made, probably made with AI nowadays, and it's bottom-of-the-barrel stuff. And, yes, we all agree that probably doesn't match up. MasterCard and Visa did block the use of their cards on some major porn website in 2020. MasterCard went a step further in 2021, adding language to its specialty merchant registration requirements that announced banks that connect merchants to our network will need to certify that the seller of adult content has effective controls in place to monitor, block, and where necessary, take down all illegal content. So some Steam users, and where the rule change comes in, is quiet normalization of financial censorship. This could be censorship. So if gigantic financial institutions get to decide what is appropriate and what is not, who's to say that it won't eventually impact regular games? One Steam user notes that queer content gets flagged as explicit even when it is PG, which is a sentiment echoed by others. One user says this looks more innocuous at first glance, but it's a Trojan horse. And Pop Culture says marching towards Gilead. And that's what I worry about, because there are games that have, especially because I'm surrounded by a lot of this, LGBT content where, you know, the main character is very obviously transgender, and it's about them being transgender, and it's about their transition. And there are people out there that says that coming of age story, that coming of transition story is porn. And they would love nothing more than payment processors to say, no, we don't want you to use our service to purchase that game. Pop Culture says it is because AO, adults only material, has more disputed transactions than almost all other categories. And I do understand that. Like I said, the surface level, it sounds fine. But the problem is, I do know that we're trying to march in the country, at least of the United States. I'm not talking about the rest of the world. I'm really just talking about the United States, that we're marching towards where even things like two men holding hands, some people consider that to be explicit content. And that would fall under this adults-only content that should have to be removed. We're not there yet, thankfully, but there are people that are doing their best to get us there as quick as possible. And that's what I worry about with this. Now, what I think should happen, because financial censorship is real, but also I believe that, you know, Visa and MasterCard are not government entities. So they don't have to abide by the First Amendment. And so they should, I believe, have the right to say, no, you can't use us to purchase XYZ. But Steam does have wallet cards that you can buy at certain stores, not as many as they used to. They used to be more prolific. Now they're only at a few. I find them at my Walgreens. That's the only place I can find them. I can't find them at my grocery store. I don't even think they're at Best Buy anymore. But, you know, I can get a wallet card, and I can pay cash for that wallet card. And then I put that wallet card into Steam, and that's what I actually use to buy games. I don't actually use my credit card to buy games on Steam. I don't have my PayPal linked to my Steam. I only use the wallet cards. And what Steam could do is have certain titles that you can only purchase via the wallet card. Now, maybe for these, that the surface level, the really bad ones, that are very obviously shouldn't be, that, you know, we would probably all be like, you know what, it's probably fine that they're not there. Maybe they don't do that for here. But if they start, if financial processors say, you know what, Madeline is a trans woman in Celeste, we don't want people using our credit card to purchase Celeste, that's not good. And maybe Steam would then say, okay, fine, Visa and MasterCard don't want you using them for this. You have to use Steam wallet points. You have to go somewhere and buy a Steam wallet card, put that wallet card into Steam, and then buy it. SJR Matt says, where this could go further is we could see stuff that is considered that is negative against the state. So a game with a protagonist in a conservative government that calls out a real-life conservative government, it could get banned. And Fifth Dream says, I'll say it. He said he's going to say it loud and publicly. So I'm going to repeat it, Fifth Dream. I'll say it loud and publicly. I've had the bank block subscriptions to site that are not necessarily adult content when I've tried to support friends. Because doing adult content, that's a legitimate art form. It is a legitimate career for many people. And it really sucks that, you know, a lot of things outside of video games, like, a lot, you know, the real world, they're trying to say, no, that's not legitimate. Go get a real job. Well, they have a real job. They have the old, you know, some people have the oldest profession in the world. Questbuster says, I'm not sure if this might be mentioned. It's not, because I've only read part of it. But a Vice particle that has now been pulled, and not because of questions about his journalism, but because of its controversial subject matter. Yeah, I did see a little bit of this. reported that the pressure against him was due to a certain group out of Australia with ties to a number of prominent anti-porn groups. The article's author says that they will no longer write for Vice. That's right. Vice, I believe, got sold, and the new owners are kind of trying to police the type of journalism that is done. And Questbuster says, said group, when asked to produce proof of what they were accusing games like Detroit Become Human of, still haven't replied. So remember, realize this. So Questbuster was pointing out this Vice article, which I didn't read yet. There is an archive.org version of the article, so it is still available, even if Vice does not have it anymore. But Detroit Become Human is one of the games they want pulled from Steam. They want payment processors to not allow you to buy with a credit card. Detroit Become Human is one of the games they don't want you to be able to use a credit card to buy. That's where this is going. As Sharon Matt says, what we might see first is regions or states with strict anti-LGBTQ plus will make credit institutions block purchases. So you might be allowed to buy one game in Massachusetts, but not in Oklahoma. And that's also not easily something that you can use a VPN to get around, because they may say, well, no, we're going to look at the zip code of your credit card. Even if you use a VPN to say, oh, I'm really in New York. I'm not where I'm at. I'm in New York. So because that is one of the things that's been going around, is that some states have started blocking access to certain websites. And so to get around it, you get a VPN and you say, I'm actually in a state that doesn't block it. And lo and behold, that website's no longer blocked for you. And Pop Culture says in Indiana is one of them, one of the states that does that type of thing. So that's where I worry about this, that we're letting payment processors dictate what we can and can't do. But Steam does have an alternative that doesn't use any of the payment processors. But I can understand that takes time. I just hope that somebody at Valve is now working on the ability to have some things only be purchasable by Steam wallet funds instead of by credit card. It is going to take some time to develop. It doesn't happen like that. If they don't have the infrastructure right now, they're going to have to build it. And I know that, you know, the little bit I know about Valve culture is that it's a very kind of flat structure. So somebody inside Valve needs to decide this is what they want to work on, or this is what they want to have happen, and they need to gather the resources, the people, the teams, and all that, the designers and stuff, to make that happen. I hope they're doing that, and this is just a knee-jerk reaction right now, because this is something they can do without any development work. This is something they can do without changing any of the infrastructure of Steam. They're just like, we can already ban games, let's just ban games. So hopefully that's going to be coming down, because there are legitimate adult-only art form. Legitimate adults-only art that is not AI slop, visual novels with extremely, like, questionable content. Even people who enjoy adults-only stuff, there are lines they don't cross, and those are the ones Steam got rid of first. And, you know, as much as I you know, don't like censorship, I'm okay with those not being there. But the stuff that's more on the line, or, you know, on this side of the line, or more mainstream, like, that art has a right to exist. Those people have a right to make that art and distribute that art to adults. Those people have the right to be able to work in that industry and do that. And I fully believe that 100%. And Popcorn says, it is art. One may not like the art, but it is art. And I agree. But Steam is not the government, and the payment processors are not the government. So there is no First Amendment violation here, unfortunately, because these are all private companies that are doing this, because the First Amendment literally is just that Congress can make no law. There's no law being passed here. Not yet. Now, if the states get involved and now make laws that payment processors can't do this in their state, that's where the First Amendment comes in. And what has been going on with the websites is that the states have not actually said you cannot access this site. The states have said that the websites have to essentially get a copy of your driver's license or some other ID, photo identification that is government tracked, and store it so they know that you are over 18. That is what the actual law says, which is not a First Amendment violation, because they're not stopping you from accessing it. You just need to provide a whole bunch of information to access it. However, that's a huge security risk. So certain websites like The Hub have said, you know what? That would put our users at risk. We'd just rather not operate in your state than put our users at risk of insecure sending of ID information, all that stuff. They're like, this is a terrible way to do it. But that is the way that they are forced by law to do it. And they've said, we're not going to comply with that law. So we're just not going to, play ball in that state. Esther Matt says, feels like this will be a Supreme Court case someday. I believe a portion of this has already gone to the Supreme Court and, they upheld all this stuff like 9-2 or something like that. It's not, if it went to the Supreme Court today, we'd be living with this forever. Unfortunately, until somebody writes a law and it gets passed, that changes that. But right now, the Supreme Court would absolutely agree with this because I believe they've already the website stuff, I believe, did go in front of the Supreme Court recently, and they upheld the state's rights to restrict to basically force websites to verify everybody's government identification. So Steam is now kind of in the same boat. Right now, it's just the games that a lot of us don't play, but it's going to become games that some of us do play, or something that's really like really looking into, you know, coming out. Like they're really going after the LGBT crowd with this. They're not going after it yet, but that's where this is going, because they're going to think that the game is going to be turning somebody into something there that society thinks they're not, when in reality they were born that way and they just didn't really understand it. Because I'm going to ask you this. I'm a straight white guy, so like I'm living life on easy mode, but I never chose to be straight. And if you're a straight white man or woman, when did you choose to be straight? You probably never made that choice. Your friends who are LGBT, they never chose. Why would they choose in this climate to be LGBT? They didn't. They just are. And now I'm going to get back to video games while you think on that. We're now going to talk a little bit about Xbox and how they transitioned out of selling something that was a big thing. But everybody's like, oh, they failed at it. And I don't think they did. I think they started a movement and then they were like, all right, cool. We're now walking away. The Verge reports that Microsoft has suddenly shut its movies and TV store on Xbox consoles and Windows PC. As of today, which was, I think, earlier this week, you can no longer purchase new movies or TV shows from the Microsoft store on Xbox or Windows. But you can still be able to access previously purchased content on your devices. Microsoft says, quote, downloads will continue to be available on Windows in an HD max resolution, unquote, but you'll have to continue using the movies and TV app on Windows or Xbox to play the content you own rather than accessing it from another service unless your purchased movies are part of Movies Anywhere in the U.S. Microsoft is not offering a refund on purchases either. The closure has been nervously anticipated by Xbox and Windows users ever since Microsoft shut down its Groove Music service in 2017. Microsoft originally launched a movies and TV storefront with the Zune Marketplace in 2006 before it was replaced by Xbox Video in 2012. That morphed into the movies and TV app and store in 2015, and now, a decade later, it's going away. Microsoft is now leaving it up to Amazon, Netflix, Apple TV, and many other streaming video services to cater for movies and TV content on Windows and Xbox. Microsoft will continue to provide support for any issues with previously purchased content, and users will be hoping the company keeps the servers online for many years to come. No, they won't. But they're going to keep it open for now until you forget about it. So why I say that this is not necessarily this is not necessarily them failing, it's because they kind of started this revolution back before streaming. You could actually purchase movies and TV. They were one of the few doing it. I actually did purchase some things in the Xbox 360 era. I purchased the South Park episode that was about World of Warcraft, and I purchased the Colbert Report, RIP, Late Show, Colbert Report episode with Rush as the guest. And those are the two things I have purchased on movies and TV, and I could still go in there and watch those. But that was like 10 or 12 years ago. So what I'm going to ask in chat. And what I'm asking in our chat room, our live chat room right now, is have you purchased movies or TV from Xbox in the last 10 years? So if you're logged into chat on Twitch, you'll be able to see there's a poll. It's at the top of the chat. And you can say yes or no. Like, have you used it in the last 10 years since 2015? And Tiger Claw says, I don't know anyone who would purchase movies directly for the Xbox since you won't be able to access those movies outside of the Xbox. And, you know, because movies anywhere is a thing. And what I'm thinking we're going to find, because I'm going to let the poll run for a bit, is that no, we haven't. Like, if I have purchased a movie, and remember, you can do this on Windows as well. Like, you could purchase through Windows. If I have purchased or rented a movie or done anything like that, I've actually used a service called Fandango at Home, which used to be Vudu, and it is connected to my Movies Anywhere account. So that's where I purchase it. I don't purchase it directly from Xbox. I don't purchase it directly from PlayStation. Tackle says, remember when the PlayStation did this? Yeah, I believe they still have a Sony Pictures thing because, like, Sony is still a movie studio and a content farm. You know, on Xbox, like, that was not the place I thought to buy movies. A lot of times what I do when I use that service, I'm actually renting the movie. I'm renting it for 48 hours. I want to see the movie. It's not on the streaming services, but it's on Fandango at Home. So I'll rent it there, and I get it in the 4K, UHD, you know, Dolby Atmos and all that stuff. But I haven't, like, purchased a movie or a television show through Xbox directly in the last 10 years. Now, when I purchased the South Park episode and I purchased that Colbert Report episode, the Xbox 360 was the only game in town. It was the only one selling movies and TV, which is why when they went with the Xbox One, they really pushed movies, TV, sports, movies, TV, sports, because they were the only game in town. Then everybody else came in and said, no, we can do that too. Amazon can sell you movies and you can watch them digitally. And everybody started doing that after Xbox did it. And I think that Xbox kind of pulling out of this market is not going to necessarily be a bad thing, because they started the market, it gained traction, other companies that specialize this came in, did it better, and now Xbox, like, you know what? That's fine. As Sharon Matt says, I bought an indie movie off of iTunes, RIP iTunes, to support a friend once who at the time only had that avenue to buy their movie. And that's different. Like, that's like, if you can only buy it from this one place, then that's the place you get it. But, like, stuff that's available everywhere, especially with as many services we have now, that where you can buy movies, be it Amazon or Apple or Fandango at Home, which is the one I use. And DJ Roman has to say, still a dumb move by the shirts that sit on the board. But if the poll is almost done, and it's actually like it's 15% of our chat says, yes, they have purchased movies from TV from Xbox in the last 10 years. 85% of our chat said no. And it costs money to run these. It costs money to get the licenses, even if you don't sell any, to be able to offer these things. And it is a overhead. Now, it is a drop in the bucket for a company as large as Microsoft, but If very little amount of people are using it, then don't spend the money on it. Like, if you look at it from, take the emotions out of it, and you look at it from, like, a financial standpoint, this is something that makes sense. Now, laying off thousands of your workers and canceling games, that part doesn't make sense. Because people were looking forward to those games. People were looking forward to the new Perfect Dark. They had Game Pass for Perfect Dark. And, you know, that stuff to pay for their $90 billion AI expansion or whatever they're doing, that I don't get closing the studios and, you know, laying off all the people and canceling the games. But this, 88% of our chat room said no. they have not purchased movies or TV in from Xbox in the last 10 years. So, you know, F's in the chat to the 13% of you who have, but probably, you know, I don't know what it was, but this is a good financial move. If people aren't using it, don't do it. And unfortunately, the populace now is not really interested in owning content anymore. They are. It's much easier to just stream it and just wait for Apple TV Plus or whatever service you have to get that movie. And then you just watch it there. As Sherman says, I'm sure this saves resources from a data system infrastructure perspective. Yes, like because these are servers they can now repurpose for something else. Thank you for participating in the poll. For those on the podcast, you didn't hear me typing, but there's a Twitch poll system that I can even put on the screen and everything. I have figured out there is a way I could automate it, but I got to write it first. So we're going to do that hopefully in the next couple weeks. So we're going to take a very quick music break. I'm going to rest my voice, and then we're going to talk to OLR. Because I know that he's played the new Donkey Kong game. I have not. I don't have it yet. You know, maybe we'll talk about and maybe we'll talk about if we've bought any movies or TV shows. I have bought movies, but they're all on 4K UHD Blu-ray. I don't buy that many digital movies because I'm always afraid the servers are going to go away. And I'd rather own my content. You're participating with the Bobby Blackwell Show and the Voice of Geeks Network at twitch.tv/VogNetwork.
Ride my chocobo all day. Can't get it out of my head.
Hey, this is Robbie Damon, the voice of all your favorite anime and video games, and you are participating with the Bobby Black Wolf Show. Have fun, baby.
This sounds like you're having fun.
That's right, we are having fun. Here at the Voice Geeks Network. Welcome back. If you want to leave a bumper, you do not need to be Robbie Damon, who I got to moderate a panel at 2019. It's been like 6 years ago. Great, wonderful to sit next to him and Max Middleman and Ray Chase. Hopefully one day I'll get to work with them again. He actually, Robbie Damon started a game studio, and it's his game's out now. It's called, I think, Date Everything. And he, like, employed all of his voice actor friends. And they're all, like, different things that you can date. Check that out. It's great. And it was one of the first indie titles to sign the interim contract with SAG-AFTRA because, of course, Robbie Damon's studio is going to sign that interim contract with the AI Productions. Of course he is. So Date Everything was his title. And, like, it is a who's who of voice actors. And I have not gotten a chance. I haven't gotten it yet. But it is something that is on my radar because it sounds like it might be kind of hilarious, even though those aren't my kind of games. It's a whole bunch of voice actors, many of which I've gotten to work with. And so I like supporting friends, too. There were some great comments that came in regarding Xbox and stuff that were a little contrarian to what I was saying. And so I do want to actually get those thoughts out, because even though I'm the one with the microphone, I do like to hear people who disagree with me a little bit on some of these topics. She-Hulk 10 says, I think it looks bad for Xbox to get rid of the service, even though it loses a little money. It is nice that they had that service. And I understand that sentiment. I get that sentiment. But if it loses money, then, you know, that is something that a corporation has to look at. A charity is probably better suited to do stuff that is nice and not necessarily for the money. And unfortunately, Microsoft is not a charity. And Esther Neman says, a lone general store in a small rural town may continue to operate that breaks even because it helps the community. A company will close the general store and not care about the community because it's not profitable. And unfortunately, especially a publicly traded company like Microsoft, they exist to make money. and everything needs to make money, and everything needs to make more money than it can actually make, which is why we get into the situation that we're at right now. It sucks. DJ Roma asks, does point out that the poll may be flawed that I did earlier about if you've purchased, because DJ Roma says, I'd say that the majority of the chat here prefer PlayStation over Xbox. So my poll may be flawed because I asked if you would use the Xbox movies and TV in the last 10 years, and only 13% said yes. So that may be a flaw in my data point, so I just wanted to get that vocalized out here. And She-Hulk 10 does say, tons of companies have departments that lose money, like human resources. And yes, true. But human resources, especially human resources, and a lot of those internal departments, they help, they're intended, I'm not going to say HR always does this, they're intended to make the departments that do make money, make more money. Is like things like HR and, you know, inside management, people management, things that aren't outwardly like that. That is their intention. Now, does that always happen? Rob Roberts says, I probably used Xbox more recently than PlayStation. The only thing I ever downloaded on PlayStation was the tester. I never even downloaded the tester. I had an episode or two of Heroes, downloaded the Guild for free and other random freebies, but all over 10 years ago. Yeah, I did the Guild was on Xbox video, whatever that was. Pre-movies and TV. I do remember that, and that was also free. Questbuster says, Netflix spends something like between $6 to $7 billion, with a B, every 3 months to run their service. Microsoft's run rate might not have been as high for their movie TV service, but it's still a cost that their shareholders might not appreciate. And when, like, Netflix, that is their core business. Selling movies and TV is nowhere near Microsoft's core business. And S. Jared Amant says, CEOs have to buy bigger yachts and tickets to Coldplay concerts to get caught cheating on their significant others. That is a really bad way to learn that your spouse likes Coldplay. They hadn't released a single in so long, and the other night they released 4. It was amazing. So coming up next here on the Voice Geeks Network Twitch channel, twitch.tv/VogNetwork, is Orange Lounge Radio. 3 people out in Sacramento, California. They talk about games for much, much longer than I do. Actual games and not movies and TV, like I was, but I'll ask anyway. We'll talk a little bit about this, but we like to check in with them and see what's going on there. Once Discord says that we're going to be connected, and see, you know, and if there's any Coldplay concerts in the future, I don't know. She-Hulk 10 says they should just add movies to Game Pass, call it Game Pass Ultimate Movies too. Would you actually want a Game Pass to have movies? Is that something that you are interested in? And that's a generic question, not just to you. Is that something, like, would you want Game Pass and maybe a separate new Game Pass that has movies and TV shows, you know, like another Netflix, like another Hulu, like another Apple TV Plus? I think the thing is, when Xbox started doing their movies and TV, nobody else was doing it. Or maybe PlayStation was doing it. I don't know. Now, so many other companies are coming in, and that's all they're doing. So Microsoft not doing it anymore is honestly, even though it feels bad, is probably the right call. She-Hulk 10 says, I think this is the first sign that Xbox is saying goodbye to us all. I actually think we've already been saying kind of goodbye, at least in the hardware space, for a bit. They laid off a lot of people on the hardware side. They're trying to make Xbox more just like this. You play these games anywhere you want. You don't necessarily need an Xbox console for it. And then they're saying, well, no, now we're not going to do as many Xbox games because, you know, Perfect Dark is gone now. Like, that was in development and now it's not. Esther DeMatt says, what everyone wants is some of these streaming services to be consolidated into one service. In the end, you'll get to a point where it just replicates cable TV. So Sacramento, are you there?
I am finally here, Bobby. I'm so sorry about that. As you know, I was having some technical difficulties earlier today and yep, almost wanted to throw this thing in the garbage.
What?
Thanks to a Windows update that messed with my sound driver, but made me think it was OBS.
Yeah.
And then I had to reinstall OBS. And turns out when you do that, it removes the virtual camera as an option unless you restart to. Anyway, we're good. We're good.
We're figuring it out live. We're figuring it out live.
That's right. Figure it. We'll do it live.
Yep, because Windows is obviously the only computer in the world that ever has updates.
Yeah. Yes. Clearly, I've never had the phone updates that actually regressed things in the application.
Never.
But yes,
never happened. All right. So, Xbox movies and TV. I read your comments in chat earlier, but like, is this really a bad look, or is it just like it's about time because I forgot it existed?
I don't know about a bad look. I think what you said at the end there is that it boils down to money. And if, you know, it's not making money, then they're going to end up shutting it down. If it's costing them more to license the things, you know, than it's worth, they're going to shut it down. I am surprised. I'm really surprised Sony never got on this. I'm really surprised that there was never any sort of offerings for movies and TV included with PlayStation Plus or Xbox Game Pass or those sort of things to sweeten the deal and lure people into the ecosystem of using those players. I think people get used to Netflix. They get used to, you know, the streaming things that they use, or YouTube, I think, is a great example. YouTube sells movies, and they do that because people tend to go to YouTube to watch, you know, I don't know, Mr. Beast or whoever's popular over there. You know, they go there.
Loki
and then
OLR.
The movies
they
while
go
there.
They go there to watch Loki OLR and Channel 64.
They could go to Twitch too. This last weekend, Loki was on Twitch.
But so normally, they should go to
You're
YouTube for Loki OLR and Channel 64 SMP for some great Minecraft content. Anyway, you were saying
I'm the worst friend. Yes, but you know, in all seriousness, you know, lure people into, you know, if you have that sort of like free, like, oh, I can watch, you know, now see, Microsoft doesn't have a movie studio, but maybe they can make an arrangement with one. Sony very easily has a movie studio, and I think I said this back in the day when we had the PlayStation 3, which infamously used the Spider-Man font. Why do we not get Spider-Man with PlayStation Plus?
Yeah.
That seems like the most obvious thing. And we just, or give people the movie for free the month before the game comes out. Like, these are the types of things that I'm really shocked they're not leaning into.
I want to say that the PlayStation 3 came with the bundle, came with Talladega Nights on Blu-ray.
Oh, I think you are right. Oh, okay, Blu-ray though. It's Blu-ray.
But still, you know, came with a movie.
It did come with a movie. You're
right. And that was before digital. Like, we were really on the digital train. Everybody was still on a physical train in 2008 or not, you know, whenever the PS3 came out.
But nudge them to the digital deals and they'll go. How did this, when did people finally accept that Steam was a great marketplace? Because everybody hated it when it first came out, and you had to have it to use Half-Life or whatever
Half-Life
was bundled
2.
With it.
Yeah,
Half-Life 2. But then when the Gavin released the Steam sales, that's when it was over and everybody installed that. So I'm really surprised. And look, I'm sitting here as somebody who's just commentated, never worked in an actual office for payroll under these companies, and I can't believe I'm sitting here going, this is a very obvious thing that I can't believe you all never, and I'm sure you all go, but there's rights issues. I literally give people a 10-year-old movie for free, and there's still people that will go, ooh, I got this for free, and we'll go check it out. And you cannot tell me, especially with as many flop movies in the sci-fi that Sony has had, that they can't do something like that as a write-off.
Yeah.
Like, I don't believe it.
Just give everybody Morbius, say it's Morbin time, and everybody will be happy.
100%. I do want to point out, you know,
give everybody a U2 album and they're going to be so happy.
That's what I should have thought of with the phone comment earlier. At least it didn't automatically load a U2 album. All right. And, although I will admit, the album wasn't that bad.
It wasn't that bad.
Tiger Claw says, also, Sony is producing that Legend of Zelda movie for Nintendo. Let that sink in. Okay, I hate that you use that phrase, but the rest of that is a very valid point. Mm-hmm. Although that's a very good example of when, just because Sony makes movies, they're not going to be entitled to put that movie out there.
Yeah.
But God, would it only benefit both of them if they could? Mm-hmm. Would it only benefit both of them if they could just do that? But it is what it is.
Yeah, all these tie-ins, though, it's always interesting because, like, Halo was on Paramount Plus, and Paramount Plus put a big Halo ad on the PlayStation dashboards for Paramount Plus. So, you know, we've been seeing some of that stuff. And, like, when the Super Mario Brothers movie came out, I saw that on the Xbox dashboard.
You might have even gotten like a week of Paramount Plus or something for free. I don't
remember.
I've had Paramount Plus for years because Drag Race, Star Trek, and Big Brother live feeds. Like, it's literally the only streaming service I pay for now. I'm almost positive they gave a week away of that when that came out, which is that is what they should do. Yeah. That is smart. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you're right. That does show a relationship between Microsoft and Paramount of some sort. Mm-hmm. And Paramount is a very large movie studio, et cetera, et cetera. So,
yeah. As Sharon Matt does say, I knew people with disabilities would primarily buy digital media because they couldn't go to a store to buy shows or movies. Now there are a ton of avenues that this avenue is no longer the only game in town. There are plenty of places to buy movie and TV shows digitally now. And unfortunately, a lot of people are like, yeah, I don't ever want physical again. And so we're not getting as much on physical. And we're not getting as much preserved and stuff. And there are, if you are technically savvy enough, there's ways around that. But not everybody out there is technically savvy.
I think there's always going to be a place for physical games as long as the consoles will support it. But I think even when we get into the era of the next PlayStation, the next Xbox being fully digital, which I do believe the next generation of games will be. I think the next generation of games will be fully digital, and the drive will be sold separately as far as backwards compatibility is concerned. There will be a physical drive you can get, but I think we're going to just be needing to accept the situation that we're going to have a fully digital PS6 and whatever's next with Xbox. Yeah.
I mean, PC games are already no longer physical. There are no physical PC games anymore. Yep.
And there's very few Nintendo games even at this point, because we all know the infamous, key card thing.
Yeah.
Now, I will say, though, you still have things like Evercade, a boutique sort of market thing that creates retro games on cartridges and indie games, to be fair, on cartridges. That's going to be probably where some of this goes. I think it'll be interesting in that era when we start seeing both boutique CD and DVD based consoles, which is probably only a matter of time, to be honest.
Yeah. So speaking of games physical, you have been playing Donkey Kong Bonanza recently.
I have.
What's your hot take?
Yes. I liked it better than I thought I would, to be honest.
Okay.
I did not jump ship until I heard it was by the people that did Mario Odyssey, and that a lot of the gameplay was the good reviews were definitely. I was like, okay, I guess I really, because when the first trailer came out, I was like, I don't know if this is something I'll be into, but I took a risk, and yeah, I really like it. I streamed the first 2 hours the other night. The archive's up on YouTube if you want to see it on my personal channel, Rob Roberts Plays. We did a full, because I'm able to do the 2K streaming on Twitch. Yeah. It worked great. Looked really nice and was fun to play. And it is a lot like Mario Odyssey, but that whole breaking terrain, it's like, honestly, it's like Super Mario Odyssey meets Minecraft.
Ooh.
Like, that's what it feels like to me. Well, because of the breaking thing. Not the crafting, just mine.
Yeah.
Super Mario Odyssey meets mine without the craft.
And I think there was a Super Mario Odyssey that had some of the breaking mechanic in it, like in one of the levels and stuff. Like that's where they were kind of testing that out. So. Yeah, no, I was actually streaming as well this week because, like, I've for people who don't know, I quit my job like 3 weeks ago. So I'm in like fun employment right now. Other than interviewing for new jobs, because I don't want to be unemployed for that long. What has been funny is that because I did have to go to my high school reunion, or I wanted to go to my high school reunion, but it was this weekend. And everybody's like, so what do you do? I'm like, I'm a professional Twitch streamer. Because, like, technically, that's the only thing that brings in money right now. So that's it. And they were like, wait, what? And then I gave the real story. But the shock was there.
That's funny.
But I did start streaming because I hadn't played the Kiryu Yakuza games. I started Yakuza 0 on PC. I did not get the Switch 2 edition. I already had it from a Steam sale. And so I started streaming it. But I also looked and, Rob, what we can probably think about doing is if we wanted to do, like, a Mario Kart world, you can use the stream together with Twitch and just not use the audio video portion and just have the shared chat.
Yeah, no, I know that. I know that's a thing. We should do it.
Yeah, so we should plan that and maybe do some Mario Kart with a shared chat, and that way people who want 2K can watch your stream and who want 720p can watch mine. But we'll have the same chat room. It'll be fine.
Yeah, we'll look at doing that in the coming week. That would be awesome because, I have a little more time now, so that would be fantastic.
Awesome. So what else are you going to be talking about on Orange Lounge Radio tonight?
That's a great question. We're going to talk about the other things that are in the news, more layoffs, Bobby. More layoffs. Studios that a big question mark. Why are we doing layoffs here? These studios are doing great things, and now we have another layoff. Yves Guillemot seems to be out at Ubisoft.
Ooh.
That's the, yeah. But the replacement is not going to really come across much better. And we'll talk about that and how that all affects the Stop Killing Games movement, because that's all a thing that ties into Ubisoft as well. So we got lots of drama tonight. I hope you brought your popcorn.
I'm going to go get some popcorn right after this. Thanks so much, Rob. Orange Challenge Radio is up next.
Thanks as always, Bobby.
So that is it for me. I will be back next Sunday night, I promise, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, right here at the Voice Geeks Network Twitch channel, twitch.tv/VogNetwork. Come join us and interact with the show directly. Or you can find me on the Twitch here, Twitch, Bobby Blackwolf. I will be streaming more Yakuza because, like, what else am I going to do? I am interviewing. I am doing the right things. I'm doing things around the house. Trust me, it's fine. We're totally fine. We can do this for a little bit. But yeah, you can find me there or on Blue Sky at BobbyBlackWolf.com. I even did post a picture up to Instagram. Bobby Blackwolf is where I am everywhere else. And you can also find me over on our Discord server, VogNetwork.com/Discord. If you like the show, tell a friend. If you hate the show, tell an enemy. I don't care. Just tell someone the show is not for everybody, but it may be for somebody who does not know about it yet. But we would not be able to make this live show work without the people who go above and beyond to help the Voice of the Geeks Network pay the bills, basically. That's what we're going for. We're just kind of, you know, sticking around paying the bills. Thank you so much, Sean322, for resubscribing, saying, woo, 32. Resubscribe for the 32nd time. And Mike Deft resubscribed, saying, I'm late, but now I'm here. Thank you so much for being here and being a friend. Thank you for being a friend and being golden chatters. I'm going to go ahead and hit the button because I don't know where to go from there. Thank you so much. I will see you this week. Maybe I'll play some more Yakuza. Maybe we'll do some Mario Kart on Twitch. And I'll see you next week. Bye.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and are not necessarily the opinions of
the VOG Network, people who need to hire new voiceover guys,
or your mom, although if Bobby said it, it really should be. This has been a production of Bobby Blackwolf Studios.